Well, hello, hello, everybody. Surprise! I'm actually getting you out another podcast, which is absolutely shocking for me since I was really dropping the ball for quite a while there. But that was because I was having problems with my podcast sound. And this is kind of like a part two from yesterday. So I put out a podcast yesterday. So if you're new to the podcast and you haven't caught any other ones, this is like a part two from the one from yesterday. I was telling you guys that I wanted to go over some things with you about yesterday, things I hadn't been able to get to because the podcast would have been too long. But I thought, you know what? I've got some spare time today. I'll go through some of this stuff. But I do want to say, I've noticed that it's weird when you're doing podcasting, your earlier podcasts, the ones that you initially did, they all kind of, you'll get like some people that have li had listened to them because it was new. And so your numbers on that are like, you might get like 50 listeners when you first start out. And then when you go down the road and you're starting to get more established, you'll see like, hundreds of people that visit your podcast. So the newer podcasts that you do, the episodes are always listened to so much more heavily. And I keep looking at these old podcasts like, wow, there's a lot of good information on them. And it actually, they explain a lot of what has happened to me over my life and why I had become a sensitive. And speaking of which, I want to send a shout out to Toby, my little sweetie that always listens to me and sends me a message. I just want to say hi, Toby. And I just there's just some things I'd like you guys to hear. So I thought, well, go back and, if you guys get a chance, go back and listen to some of the older podcast episodes that I have up. Or I might just redo them and put them up, at a later time here so you don't miss stories of things that have happened to me through my life. Some of the stuff, seeing things, hearing things, having my name called, dreams, visions, like just stuff that I've gone through and things that have happened to people that I care about, plus other stories, just stuff that just people that wrote in and just a lot of things. So, if you guys get a chance, go back and listen to some of the older videos because, like I said, there's a lot of good stuff on there. Probably not as, maybe not as good of a podcast as you go along. It gets a little bit better, but mine are pretty, laid back and, I don't really do a lot of stuff with it. Like, I don't do a lot of sound effects and things like that yet, but I'm sure at some point, if I get really serious about this, I might, but we'll see. So, one of the things I was thinking of, I wanted to talk to you guys about, and I'd love to get some of your input on this because it's just stuff that you just really think about. You're just like, it just doesn't really, it's weird. It's kind of crazy to know that you have that kind of a, I don't know what the word would be, just like, I guess, ability to, sense that things are going on. But one of the things I've noticed in my life is that I seem to sense when things are gonna, like, say you have, say you owe taxes and you haven't heard from these, the tax office and the bill that's owed for 8 months and you've put it off. And you are sitting there one day, and all of a sudden, something just goes through my mind about the tax bill or the tax office, or I can't believe I haven't gotten a notice about that yet. Or it could be a bill, or it could be somebody that you haven't heard from in a while that all of a sudden messages you, or emails you, or sends you a letter. This happens to me all the time. And then I'll think about something that I haven't had any contact with in maybe, 8 months, a year, 2 years, and all of a sudden the next day or within a couple days, something comes in the mail, or I'll get an email, or somebody will show up, and it's like, I don't know, I can't get over it. So it's really crazy to me, and this happens to me more than you could imagine. It's the same thing with if somebody comes to my door. Now, I don't answer my door unless I know who's coming. This is a very strict rule in our house. I even have signs on my doors. Every one of my doors, there's like a little note out there that says, if you have not called before showing up here, don't bother knocking and don't expect me to answer the door. And the kids are not allowed to answer the door. So I go through, a lot of this with people, and I just tell everybody that, we are not people that answer our door unless we know who it is. And it's a safety issue. And especially the kids, they are absolutely never allowed to answer the door. So basically the note says, if you hear people in there and you hear sound, unless you've called and we know you're coming, we're not answering this door. I don't care who it is. And so, now if I happen to look out and see it's one of my kids or whatever, but typically they'll message me and say, hey, mom, answer the door, but they all have keys. So even my grown kids, they all have keys to my house because to me it's their home too. But so if somebody comes at my door and they leave and I haven't answered the door, maybe I'm home, or if they leave a note and it doesn't say what it's about, I always know what it is. I always, as soon as I see a person at my door and I don't even know who this person is, when they leave, I know what they were here for. It'll go through my mind. Like I can, it's, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a flash of something that goes through your mind, and it's not like you hear it or you read it. It's literally like you feel it, but you can kind of like, God, it's such a hard thing to explain. It's like psychic ability that I do have, that when I hear things and I see things or sense things, typically I hear it, but it's not like in words. It's like it's downloaded into your mind and it's just there. And it's kind of like you just know something. Like the information is just boom, it's just there. And that's kind of, it's so hard to explain it because you really can't do it unless you actually experience it. But this stuff happens to me a lot, and it's really crazy to me. And it happens with so much stuff. Like it could be phone calls, people showing up, people I think about. Just like I told you in my last podcast, like I had that dream about my grandmother, her ex-mate who had passed away years ago had come back to life to be with her. And I was like, oh my gosh, is that like a way of letting me know that she might pass? Or it just kind of disturbed me a little bit. So I felt like I really need to call her. But this stuff, so I just wanted to know if you guys, if anybody out there ever has anything like this, it's just something I'm curious about because it happens to me. It's constant. It's absolutely, it's like I have this radar set of feelers in my brain, and every time I'm walking through a place or I'm scoping things out, I'm constantly hearing things like either talk to me or tell me stuff or feeling things or seeing visions in my mind. Like it could be just the quickest thing that flashes through your mind, and and so many people, I'm sure, discount things, like they don't really take it serious. But what has happened to me is over the years that so much stuff has come true that I've been like, holy cow, like I really have something going on here. Like this isn't a joke. So I just, I thought I would share that with you and see if anybody here has had that too. And I'm gonna take a quick break. I will be right back here. I gotta do a couple things and I'll be back. Okay, I'm back. So I have another, I was doing a podcast for you guys months ago, and I didn't really like the way, I just seemed like I was kind of almost angry when I was doing this podcast. And I thought it just sounds, I didn't like the way I was sounding in it. So I kind of put it off. But I want to touch on that after I tell you this one. But this was kind of like a prelude to this too. But so I don't know if you know of the story where I was sitting in traffic. Many of you probably have heard this before, but I was sitting at a red light, and I used to work at this place. When I was younger, I used to bartend, and I worked at this place, and I looked over to the right, and that's where the place was that I bartended at. And I was sitting at this light, and I looked over at the place, and I looked back to the light, and I had this vision come into my mind of seeing my boss's wife standing over his grave. She was dressed all in black, and her daughter was behind her. And it was weird because it was her daughter too, because I'll tell you why. It just seems kind of strange to me. But so it was those two, and he also had a son, but he wasn't in the dream. It was just just the mother and the daughter, and they were standing over, and I could see it as if I was looking up at them from the grave, as if like I was him and I was looking up at them. And it was really weird to me because, it just was strange. This is kind of probably some of the things that people see, and they just really don't, not that they see this, but I mean, they see their own types of visions, and it comes in, it's so quick. It happens, it's like a flash. And then you probably think it's your thought, and then you don't really say much to anybody. And then down the road, if you really pay attention, you might be surprised at how much stuff comes true. So I went home that day, and I remember this was during the time when I was predicting a lot of, like, I was going through a cycle of a lot of predictions. Like, they were all happening, like, in a cluster, and it was starting to get, like, unnerving for me. And so I went home, and I remember I went into the kitchen, and Matt was there, and I was like, I just had a dream that, or I just had a vision that my ex-boss, like, he was in a grave looking up at his wife and his daughter, and they were dressed in mourning, like in black, but he had passed away. And he was, and then I just told him, I said, it was weird because it was like this really weird thought. And and like I said, the only reason I had mentioned it to Matt was because, I had gone through this, I was going through this cluster of having things, like I was hearing things tell me stuff and feeling things, and they were coming true. So then I started to document it or tell somebody so they were aware that, that it just kind of validates that you're not nuts and that you really are seeing and hearing stuff. So I said, so we just kind of brushed it off. Like I just said, it was bizarre. And it's weird because the thing is it's the connection to the people that I really wanted to talk about today because, I mean, I hadn't worked for them in years. It was a long, long time. And I couldn't understand why me? Like, why am I the one? Like, when Rush Limbaugh died, I was told, I was sitting at the table, and I was told Rush was going to die. And I know he had been sick, but he had been sick for a long time. And so the only thing I could understand was that that we listened to him. Like, I didn't understand why I was told that he was going to die. I mean, I wasn't his family. I wasn't close to him. I didn't know him personally. I was like, why on earth would I know that? And so it was weird. It's so strange how you don't feel connected to people, yet you're still getting messages about them and stuff. So I messaged Matt, and I even have the text to prove it. I can show it. Anybody that wants to see them, I can show them to you. I have the texting. And I sent him a message, and I said, hey, I said, I just got a message. I heard something told me that Rush Limbaugh was gonna die. And he was like, well, he's been sick. I said, well, yeah, he's been sick for a long time. But I was told that he's going to die really soon. It's like soon. And he said, okay. And I just was sitting there clueless. I was like, I don't get it. I don't know why is this happening, to me. And so 10 days later, he died. And I was just like, wow. I just sat there. I was like, that's weird, So this was happening, like the connection with my ex-boss and his wife and their daughter was odd to me. So I didn't understand why this happened. So it was 2 months later, and he didn't have health problems where he was, he wasn't fighting cancer. He didn't have anything that they were aware of that was going to take his life. There was nothing imminent that they knew of. So he had, obviously, everybody has some kind of a health glitch. Most of us do. But they weren't expecting him to die. Let's just put it that way. So he woke up one day and he dropped over and he died of a heart attack. And I didn't know about it. And I had just gotten done with my uncle, who I was told to go and get this paperwork done like really fast. And there was nothing wrong with him either. He was 60 years old, nothing wrong with him. And I was just getting off the phone with the attorney who told me, as they had the paperwork in their office ready for us to go in and sign, that he had died, that they had just found out that day, and the family didn't even know. And I was like, how on earth did you even know this? And apparently, they had known somebody from the office that knew, like a paramedic or something, because he was found in his home. But like I was in the kitchen getting off the phone in absolute shock about this, that I was told to really hurry up about this paperwork because we had lost this rights to survivorship will, and the attorney never kept a copy, so we had to sign other paperwork, which never got signed because he died the day we were supposed to sign it. He died like 2 days before that. And so it was, I was sitting at the table just shocked. And then my mother-in-law walked in the door and she said, "Hey, did you hear?" And she said his name. I'm not going to say his name. She said, "Such and such died today or yesterday or whatever." And I'm sitting there and I'm like, "What?" You know, I'm just like, "How is this happening to me? Like, and why is it always death?" So I don't know what it is with me and death. I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's just a way to prepare me for certain losses or. I don't know. It's just like you almost feel like the Grim Reaper's like attached to you or something. It's really, I don't get it. I don't understand it. So that happened. And so the other day I picked up the Sun Gazette and I was reading it. And all of a sudden I saw that his wife, the boss that I was just talking about, had just died. And I was really sad because she was only like 70 some years old. And I was like, wow, that's always a, like to me, 70s is really young. Like, I'm like, man, you could live to be in your 90s. Some people live to be 120. I mean, you could live a lot longer, you know, but to me, that's pretty young. I mean, in this day and age, especially with all the healthcare and everything that you can get and the different procedures and everything, I think the main thing that people need to really concentrate on are stem cells, as long as they're not done from aborted babies. I don't know if that's even a thing, but I'm kind of weird about that because I don't know where they come from. But I've heard so much about stem cells, and it seems like such a really neat thing to help people with. Although you do have to watch allergies because if somebody had allergies, they've been known to actually give people the allergies the person had that's donating the stem cells. So I picked up the paper and I read that she had passed away, and I was like, it just was weird. So I started, you know, you just do what you normally do. You start reading the obituary and. Her name was so funny to me because when she got married, it was almost like it one letter was changed from her maiden name to her married name. She almost had identical names for her last name. And I was reading through it, and then I noticed that their daughter had died years ago at the age of like 42. And she was a doll. I mean, everybody loved her. I worked with her. She was such a sweetheart. And I was stunned. I was like, what? I didn't even know she had passed away. And she had left a daughter behind, like a young daughter, I believe. I couldn't really find that because, like, even her Facebook was so, you know, she had passed so many years ago that you couldn't really find much on her Facebook. And so I was reading her obituary. I went in to read her obituary because I felt this connection with these guys because of what happened with my vision. I never could understand why. And I'm reading her obituary for the daughter that died at 42 years old. She died on my birthday. I was just like, she died on May 4th, which is my birthday. And I just sat there and I'm like, this is so weird. Like she died on my birthday. And I was like, maybe that was the connection. So it was just, you know, it's they say your birthday, you're not supposed to get surgery 3 months before or 3 months after your birthday because it's a gateway into your life and your death. And I've noticed I saw this. It was so weird. I read this too. This was another thing that happened that was so bizarre to me because I used to go visit my family in cemeteries. I go every now and then. I'll go to the cemetery and just, you know, just pay your respects and pay my respects and just be there around the people that you know, that you love that were buried there. And I would look around sometimes and I would notice that all these markers had people's the days they died were so freaking close to the day they were born. And I had noticed this years before I read anything about this. I was like, and I had said something about it to several people in my family, like, that's really weird. Have you ever noticed like people die so close to the day or so close to the day they're born? And nobody ever noticed it before. And then one day, I don't know, I was reading something and I picked up an article on it and it said it was talking about supernatural stuff and how there it's a real gateway that you're not supposed to like skydive or, you know, go on an airplane or you're not supposed to do anything 3 months before and 3 months after. So there's a 6 month window there that you're supposed to kind of stay put and be calm and not do anything crazy or schedule surgeries and dental work and all the crazy stuff that you have to do that's a little extra. You're supposed to do that, you know, in that other, you know, the other 6 months of the year. So that was really crazy. But I thought that was really wild that I had noticed that. And here was an article about it. So it was pretty cool. So that was really nuts. And then I had, this other thing that happened, this was what I was actually doing the podcast on. And this might not be a big deal to some people, but it was kind of a big deal to me. Hang on, I'm going to take a little break here, guys. Be right back. Okay, I'm back from my break. Not that you guys notice it's a break because I hit stop for the episode that I'm doing. And then, you know, I go off and do what I have to do and I come back. But for you, it's just, you know, I'm gonna leave and then I'm right back. So, now this next clip, what I'm gonna do is I decided instead of going through all this again myself, repeating it, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go back into my archives and I'm going to pull out part of the one podcast that I was going to do for you guys that I had done, but I never completed it. So, but this is kind of relating to what I'm talking about today with the premonitions and some of the stuff that was going on and is going on with me. So I hope you enjoy this. It's a little, you know, I did this back in, I'm gonna say maybe November of 2023. So it was just, you know, a few months ago that I did this, but I just never released it. So here we go. So I've had some things going on in my personal life, like at the house and such. Been going through some really traumatic personal things. Don't want to get in all of it, but Matt and I could possibly be separating here. And in the meantime of all this, you know, some things have been going on with him. And I felt like something happened where just something in my spirit felt like whatever was protecting him, something that was, I always felt that Matt and I both, each of us had like something that guarded us and protected us. Like some weird stuff would happen throughout our lives and we would get like a premonition or a feeling not to do something. We wouldn't, and we'd find out later that, you know, it definitely was a good thing we listened. Things we would feel like, you know, just crazy close calls, stuff like that. And we always felt really protected. And for whatever reason, I just had started getting this feeling that whatever was protecting him was lifted. It was gone. And I had been praying about it. I had been, not that, you know, his protection was lifted, but I had been praying that God really intervene in his life. He's gone through some substance issues, some struggles with alcoholism and such. And I was really praying hard that, you know, God would intervene and really like, I was kind of unsure as to what I wanted God to do. You know, some days I would be angry and I would pray, you know, you need to, you know, really intervene and teach him lessons. And then other times I was like, you know, just do your will. And, you know, other times it would be just prayers of love and, you know, just to help him, save him, deliver him, that kind of stuff. So it was a lot of, you know, emotions going on there with prayer and working through stuff with God and just the stuff I was, you know, working through with it. And I just felt that, you know, whatever was protecting Matt had lifted from him. And it was weird. I had this thought, and about a week later, he came to me and he said, you know, he kind of was really upset. And he said, you know, I don't know what just happened. He said, I came home and Matt is a real stickler for locking his car and rolling up his windows. And he does it even in our driveway. Like he never, ever, ever leaves his car unattended, you know, by being unlocked or anything like that. So he said he went into the garage. He checked his car like he always does. He went into the garage and he said he came back out a few minutes later and he said every single one of his car windows was down. And he said he couldn't understand
what happened? And he was like, and you weren't home. He said, oh, I forgot one part of this. He said he heard something. He was in the garage with the big door lifted up, because he does it kind of like looks out. It's like a view thing, you know, where he's at, because we kind of, it's like a foresty type of setting up there. And he said he heard something walk by his truck, and it was real heavy walking. He said it was like real heavy, and you could hear, we have stone in our driveway, and you could hear the stone scuffing. And he raced around the corner to say, Tracy, and he needed to tell me something. I can't remember what it was, but it was something he wanted to catch me. And he said, so he thought for sure it was me walking through the driveway, and it wasn't. I was gone. I was completely away from the property, and nobody else was home, and except for Tristan, who was up in his game room, and he was like in the zone, so he wasn't, you know, out at all. And he said this was, he had come home 10 minutes later. He thought he heard me walk through right by his car, and he said he came, you know, kind of running out right away to catch me, and he said there was nothing there. And he looked over, and all four of his car windows were down completely the same exact level. And he was just in awe. He was like, what in God's name is going on? And I was like, wow, that's really trippy. Like that, it was really like, okay. So he was really upset. Like you could tell that this really impacted him. Like he was like, what in God's name is going on? So he came in and we talked about it, and he was just like real, like, you know, almost afraid to go back out to the garage. Kind of hangs out in the garage a lot, listens to music and does his thing out there. And so I was like, you know, I would be kind of, you know, a little bit leery too, you know. So he rolled up his windows again and he checked things on the internet about, you know, could his car windows roll down automatically, things like that. But he said, and that would be one thing, and it couldn't. You had to do this special thing with the car, and only two of them could roll down or something like that. And it could have been a glitch in the car system. But he said, had it not been for the really heavy walking and hearing stone get turned up, you know, he, like somebody was literally walking right beside the car and he heard it. He said, had it not been for that, he would have thought maybe it was a glitch in the car. But when you put the two together, it just, you know, it added up to something really weird just happened. And this is after something really traumatic had happened to him, and he brought it on himself, but it was pretty bad. And he, so I guess, you know, he had felt like whatever was going on in his life, like he came to me about a week later and he said, I feel like whatever was protecting me is gone. And this was like a week after I had thought this. And I was like, that is really weird that we both came to the same conclusion here. So it was pretty wild. And then about 2 days later, he said he was standing up on the balcony, because the bedroom, there's three bedrooms upstairs and a bathroom. And the one bedroom has like a balcony to it. It has like, you know, like you go out, it's got the, you know, the French doors, and you go out and it's, you know, it's a balcony with stairs. And he goes out there sometimes just to like look at the stars and stuff like that. And he said he was out there and it was nighttime, and he said he felt something really big walk behind him, and he felt the breathing. He could feel like this, like, I don't know if he felt wind or felt, you know, just heard the breathing or whatever, but he could feel it behind him. And he said, and it was actually taller than him. And then he kind of looked around slowly towards his back, and he felt it move off and go into the tree that was next to the balcony. And it was just like standing there, sitting there, whatever. And I was like, wow. And then that's when he had said, you know, he felt that, you know, he wasn't protected anymore. And I was like, it's really weird you said that, because I felt the same thing about a week ago. I was like, something told me that you're protection. And I didn't know if it was because of my prayers and God decided to intervene and, you know, kind of like let things go and teach you some lessons. I mean, you don't understand. We've been going through a lot with him. It's almost like, it's not just like substance stuff, but it's also almost like a mental thing too. And, you know, Tristan and I have decided that we'd like to relocate and get a new home, and, you know, just not live with him right now, because, or maybe not ever, you know, I just don't know. I just, it's really hard to live with somebody that is going through this stuff. You want to be supportive and love them and, you know, help take care of them, but they do so many things, and some of it's so antagonistical, and it's so just, you know, downright just horrible, the things they say and do, and it they just drive you away, you know, and you just know that they need to get help, you know, for you to carry on any kind of a relationship with them. They need some kind of help and they won't get it. And he's plain out and just flat out told me that he doesn't feel that he needs to change because whatever he does makes him happy. And why should he make, you know, himself miserable to make others happy? And I mean, he has a point. It's an interesting way of looking at it, but it's also kind of like, well, that's, you know, there's just certain things that people can't live with. And some, you know, people that are alcoholics or doing, you know, whatever substances, it's just, you know, it's, I don't know. You just have to live through it and live through being with somebody like that. I don't smoke at all. I don't drink at all. And I don't do any drugs at all. Like I'm as straight as they come. So it's really hard for me because I have no vices. I think my only vice is a Coke Icy. I have an issue with getting like one or two Coke Icy's a day at Burger King, and I just love them, or wherever. It can be anywhere, but I just love Coke Icy's. So that's literally my vice. And as I'm sitting here talking to you, this hawk landed on a light overlooking the river, and it is the most beautiful bird. You should see this thing. Just a beautiful bird. You should see the wingspan. Just gorgeous. And then the other thing that happened, this was really strange. I had driven by this one street that an old friends of our family had lived in this house. And I noticed that the house was had been sold for like maybe a medical facility or something like that. It was a beautiful house. It was really big. And I thought about these people. And for some reason, I thought about, there's a guy, the mother was Pat. She was married to a man named Elliot, and she had a daughter named Karen. Karen was actually our friend. She was my mom's friend, but I was also close to her too. And Karen had died of Hodgkin's or non-Hodgkin's lymphoma years ago when she was probably maybe in her 30s, maybe 40s. I'm not sure exactly. She was just the family was great. And Karen had a brother named Chris, who's exactly my age. And I started thinking about Chris. And I don't know why. Chris and I had never been close. We'd only like run into each other a handful of times and kind of stayed away from each other, I think, because we were both the same age and you felt awkward around each other, you know? And he was really cute. But I just, you know, I just wasn't into boys when we were there. But I started really thinking about him and I was like, I don't know why he is on my mind so entirely much. Like this guy has just been like consuming my thoughts lately. And I don't know why. I have no idea what's going on with this. So I came home and I thought, well, I wonder what happened to him, you know? And I'm not interested in him like that. Nothing like that. It was nothing, you know, and no, not those kinds of thoughts. Just, I was actually wondering what happened to Pat, the mother. I knew the father, Elliot, had died. I didn't know what happened to Pat and I didn't know what happened to Chris. So I looked up, I believe I looked up Chris's name first. And no, I think I looked up Pat's name first, his mom. And I found out she died in June of 2016. And I was shocked. It looked like she had gone into a home. It doesn't mean she was a resident at a home because some people can get sick and then they're placed in a home to get better or recuperate or whatever. Or it could have just, you know, been something that just happened recently, which might have been the case. When I finish telling you the rest of this, you'll understand. So I looked up Chris and I found out he'd moved to Connecticut, and I was looking up Facebook pages and stuff and I couldn't find anything and I thought it was weird. And here I pulled up this article that said he had died. And I was like, Chris died. And he died in 2016, the same year his mother did. And as I'm looking this up and I'm just dumbfounded, I'm kind of talking out loud, I'm laying on my bed, kind of leaning my elbow on my pillows, and I'm looking at my phone, and I feel this, whatever it was, start to rub my leg. And I was just like, I mean, I'm talking, this was really, really, really strong, like something was really rubbing my leg. And I was, because I was trying to, you know, talk myself out of it, saying, no, that's just my leg, or maybe my pants, or like maybe I moved, or, you know, my, cause I was wearing loose pants, maybe the fabric settling, or, you know, and I just couldn't figure out. And so I just sat there watching it. I was like looking at my leg, and I could feel as, you know, clear and plain as day that there was like a hand on my leg, like softly caressing my leg, like rubbing it. Like if you reached over to your kid or your, you know, spouse or whatever, and you just kind of like, you know, rub their leg. And this is how, this was what was going on. And I was a little bit more tingly, you know, cause it wasn't actually a human hand. And I'm watching it, I'm looking at this, and I'm not seeing, you know, much of anything, maybe a little movement in my pants, but I could feel it. And I was like, is something going on with my skin? You know, and so I moved my leg to try to, like, you know, like just to kind of relocate it. And then I put it back, and it was doing it again. And I was like, okay, whatever's rubbing my leg or whoever's rubbing my leg, please stop. And it stopped on a dime just like that. And I was just sitting there just shocked. So I continued to look up Chris's death, and I was just stunned that he had died. And it looked like there was, like, it said something about the family wanted to thank the neuro hospital, because he had some other sisters and brothers, two brothers I think and a sister from his dad's previous marriage that were a lot older, and it said that something with the neuro hospital in Connecticut, the family wanted to thank them. So I gathered that he had been sick with something neurological, could have been MS or who knows, you know. So then I looked up the dad, and Elliot was his dad's name, and he also died in 2016. And I'm just sitting there flabbergasted. I'm like, there is just no way. This entire family basically just died in the same year. And I went back and I looked up Pat's month she died. It said June 2016 she died. And I went back and looked up Chris and Elliot's deaths. Chris died, it looked like, what looked like happened, because Elliot was still with Pat, who lived in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and Chris was in Connecticut. Elliot died, the dad, in Connecticut at the age of 81 suddenly. So what it looked like was that the mom was in Williamsport. She was a lot older than Elliot. She was 7 years older than Elliot, because she died when she was 88. He was 81. Elliot was, the dad. And so it looked like Pat might have been in a home, or she might have been sick. Elliot went to Connecticut to be with Chris, who was possibly sick and dying. And Elliot died suddenly, which signifies usually a heart attack, while he was there being with Chris. And 10 days later, Chris died. So Elliot died February 1st, Chris died February 10th, and Pat then died June, whatever the date was, in June, all of 2016. And I was just like, this is insane. I have never, like, I just couldn't get over it. It was just one of those stories. I mean, if it happens to a friend of yours, like friends of yours, you're just in shock, you know, it's crazy. So anyway, and this was when, you know, something was rubbing my leg. So I had wondered if I have got loads of stories of me having premonitions and, you know, being in a sense, I guess, I don't want to call myself a medium, because I don't even want to really acknowledge that, really, because of the biblical stuff. Like, we're not really supposed to get into all that. But, you know, certain people have abilities, and I don't even want to call it a gift. It's just, there's abilities that they have. And I've, you know, I think it was from a near-death encounter. I came back and I started, it opened up something in me where I have things like that. So I think there's a possibility maybe Chris or Pat or anybody, maybe some in that family, was just reaching out to me at that time for whatever reason. And as I was looking up their information, maybe one of them just reached out to me. You know, I'm not sure. It could have been my angel. It could have been the Lord. It could have been, you know, who knows? I mean, you just don't know, and you're never really going to know, you know. But it was just a really crazy, incredible thing to happen. But it was just wild to find out that all of our you know, three of the four of that family that lived together when I was growing up all passed in the same year, and two of them were within, you know, within 10 days of each other. So it was pretty wild, but it was sad. It was really, really sad. What a great family they were. I really loved them. And it just, you know, I hope they're in a better place right now. And I'm hoping that we all get to be in a better place at some point here, because this just isn't good. You know, this isn't good what's going on. And I'm not really ecstatic about it, but I know a lot of us are feeling the same way. You know, whatever your political views are, I'm not sure at this point. You know, I think a lot of them go in there with good intentions, and then they just get drawn into that club. And I just don't know. This system is broken, and it needs to be revised. You know, there needs to be something else. We need many, many more good people in office that have, you know, a little bit more conservative views. I'm not saying to hate anybody or to create hate in any way, but, you know, there's some issues that are going on that are just a little wacky. Things that, you know, especially with children, you know, that should not be exposed to certain things. We have to really guard our children because they are our future. And, you know, there's just some stuff that's being not even just taught, but shoved down their throats that I just am just in awe and shock over. So anyway.
Okay, everyone. I hope you enjoyed all this. And I'm going to be working on a new podcast here this coming week with, I'm not going to mention his name, I'll surprise you, but pretty cool guy. I'm going to end this with some really beautiful classical violin music that I love. It's about a 2.5 minute long clip. So anyone that enjoys that type of music, stick around for a few more minutes and take a listen. It's pretty beautiful stuff. So I will be back soon. God bless you guys, all of you. Say your prayers and stay safe and keep praying for me and my family. And I will be talking to you soon. Take care.